really good singing on Sunday nights at Christ Community Presbyterian Church. Our thanks to Bob and Julie for playing. It's been a good season in our, as we started this Sunday evening service. Tonight I want to complete our series we've been doing on the Aaronic blessing and looking again at one of the blessings that we enjoy from that blessing is in, even in the worship service. So as we're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11 through 18, and connect some Old Testament scripture as well as some New Testament, but mainly what we're going to look at is verses 11 through 18 of Hebrews 12. Before we pray, let me just read from Hebrews chapter 12, when speaking of a worship service. You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your covenant blessings upon us that you have promised even before the foundation of the world. Thank you. Those covenant blessings are seen throughout the scriptures, and certainly as we've been studying this Aaronic blessing, it's all based on your covenant promises. And so, Father, we give you thanks for this privilege of just opening your word tonight and seeing the greatness of the fulfillment of scripture in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ as he paid for our sins. Thank you, Father, for this time tonight, and pray that you would bless the opening of your word and the preaching of your word as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just a reminder that we are considering the Aaronic blessing from Numbers chapter 6. And as we talked about that, sometimes you just kind of go through it, but the opening verse before the blessing was even sounded was the fact that this was God spoke to Aaron, spoke to Moses to speak to Aaron and his sons and said, "Thus you shall bless the people." It's a command. "And you shall say to them." So God, everything is based on a command of God. So this is not just made up. This is not just fairy tale stuff. The Lord bless you, keep you. This is God speaking, said, "This is what I want you to be telling my people." And then the words that are so precious to us, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." But even doesn't stop there, because he says, "In doing so, you shall put my name upon the people and I will bless them." So we look at this and say, this is what God has spoken here, and it's seen at an end of a worship service. And so where we're going on this and saying tonight, first of all, we want to look at the essence of Old Testament worship. I want to just kind of break down the Day of Atonement for us and see that this blessing was at the end of the Day of Atonement. And we look at that and see how Christ fulfills that atonement sacrifice. And then we also want to look at the essence of the gospel in verses 12 through 14, and then the connection to the new covenant promise. So let me just read it from verse 11 through 18 of Hebrews chapter 10. Hear the word of the Lord. "Every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, 'This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days,' declares the Lord, 'I will put my laws in their hearts and write them on their minds.' And then he adds, 'I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more.' Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin." Well, first of all, we consider the essence of the Old Testament worship. It says every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. I don't know about you, sometimes when you read the Old Testament, I heard one preacher describe, you know, people get really fired up about reading the whole Bible in a year, and they start out really on fire. They're reading Genesis, and then they're reading Exodus. and then they read Leviticus. But if I was looking through Leviticus, I was going through that in my own studies this year, and I got through Leviticus, and I'm in Numbers. That's pretty good, you know. So, but when we look at Leviticus, there's a scene of Leviticus called, it was the Day of Atonement, when something that was done annually, the priest actually went into the Holy of All with blood sacrifices, first for himself and then for the sins of the people. But that's not all it was, and so I want to describe to you what was taking place, because this Old Testament sacrifice, it is does say here in verse 11, he talks about the sacrifices that were done daily. When a person sinned, they would bring a trespass offering to the priest, and they would slay the animal, and they would burn the animal, and then they would take the remains into the outside of the camp. That was something that was done regularly, but the one that was done once a year was the Day of Atonement. So it began with preparation. I was thinking about think about a priest in the Old Testament. They had to be kind of a butcher, didn't they? Because they were always killing the sacrifice, and they were always cutting up the meat. And so when you have the Day of Atonement, in order to fulfill the Day of Atonement, you need four animals. You need a bull for the sacrifice for the sin of Aaron or the high priest. Then you need, two rams and two goats. Okay, so you need four. That's five. Five animals. Okay, that five animals. All right. Even though I tried to take college calculus, I just not. All right. So that we have, this is the preparation before anything took place. We stop and think about the cost of that. You know, the animals themselves. So then the priest would kill the bull, and he would take. He would take the blood from the bull, and he would go and make an atonement for his own sin by taking some of that blood and sprinkling it, although he didn't go in, he just would reach in to put some of the blood upon the mercy seat on the Ark of the Covenant. So when he did that, he was making atonement for his own sin, because he could not atone for the sins of the people without his own sins being atoned for. And so he would. So it was him doing this before God. Now he's ready for the sins of the people, and they had two goats actually that were used for this, and they would actually draw straws as to which goat would be used for the trespass offering, and which goat would be used for the scapegoat. The trespass offering had the sins of the people upon it, and he would take the ark, or he would go and take the blood of that goat. And sprinkle it upon, he would then go into the holy place and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat on the Ark of the Covenant. But he would also make a cleansing of the incense altar. He would also make a cleansing of the burnt offering altar. When you stop and think about it, not only he's making atonement for the people, then he's also making a way for them to bring in. The incense altar represents our prayers, and so our prayers are being made acceptable in that atonement sacrifice. And the burnt offerings, they makes our praise acceptable to God. And so everything had to be atoned for, and it was all this blood offering. Once that was done, he would take the other goats. He would confess the sins of the people. And a man who is called a worthy man would take that goat and take it out into the wilderness. I think some scripture calls it the land of forgetfulness. It was a wilderness, and so it was far enough away that it could never find its way back. It represented the sins gone forever. The worst thing that would ever happen to them is that goat would make its way back. It's like the sins come back. No, it would be taken away, and so it would die a slow and painful, lonely death. And I think you understand the picture that he's given to us. Well, once that's done, he's handled three dead animals so far, and so even though the one was going to die, but he's handled them so far, so he has to go through a cleansing process before he can do anything else. So there's not time to rejoice yet, because now he offers two burnt offerings to God, kind of a praise to the Lord. One for himself. Praise God, my sins are gone, right? And one for the people. Praise the Lord, our sins are gone. We have been accepted to God. And after that was a cleanup. I thought about this. I thought, you know, there's a lot left over here. And anything that was not burned up, as in the sacrifice, because he had a certain way that he was to flay the meat and burn it, etc. The rest of the remains were taken outside the camp and they were set on fire. They were burned totally. So there would be nothing left of the sacrifice. And then Aaron would come forth and pronounce the blessing upon the people. So what I'm getting at is the people look forward to that blessing because that said, atonement has been made. They look forward to hearing the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. They look forward to hearing the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Because that was a sign. Atonement has been made. We're accepted. So let's turn to the New Testament. In the book of Hebrews chapter, we're looking at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 12. It says, verses 12 through 14, when Christ had offered for all times a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet, for by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. What a beautiful presentation of the gospel. Christ offered a single sacrifice for sin. Hebrews chapter 9 says, for Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf, nor was it to offer himself repeatedly as a high priest enters the holy places every year with blood that is not his own. But then we would have to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he appeared once for all time at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. What a successful priest. The high priest had to do it again and again and again. Every year that was a reminder of their sin. And every year they would go through the entire atonement sacrifice procedure again and again. It says he sat down at the right hand of God. My favorite verse in all Hebrews is Hebrews 1:3, and says, he's the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature. He upholds the universe by the word of his power, and after making purification for sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. After he had made purification of sins, he sat down. The high priest didn't sit down in the tabernacle or in the temple. There was no place to sit down because the work never stopped. But Jesus, with his once and for all sacrifice, sat down. The work was complete. So in Romans it says that who shall bring any charge against God's elected is Christ, or is God who justifies? Who is it to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, he was raised, who's at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. So he does have a purpose at the right hand. Having sat down at the right hand of God, he does have a purpose, and that is to intercede for us. And then it says, awaiting his enemies to be made his footstool. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says, each one in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ, then comes the end when he delivers up the kingdom to the Father and destroying every rule and authority, for he must reign until he's put all his enemies under his feet. That last enemy is death itself. So the statement of fact says, in verse 14, by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. What can you say to that? That is something that God has done for us. And so when you look at the Aaronic blessing, God has blessed us. And God keeps us because nothing can be, we cannot be taken out of Christ's hands. So God has blessed us in the riches that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has blessed us. He keeps us. He's caused his face to shine upon us because he's been gracious to us in giving his son, Jesus Christ. And he has lifted up his countenance upon us and given us peace after peace because Jesus Christ has made peace through the blood of his cross. So the gospel speaks to the Aaronic blessing, and of course our worship service does as well. Notice in verses 15 and through 18, then we have a connection to the new covenant promises as taken from the book of Jeremiah, and the writer of Hebrews connects this to the gospel presentation that Jesus Christ died for our sins once and for all. So he says, the Holy Spirit bears witness to us that after saying, this is the covenant that I'll make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and write them in their minds. Then he adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. When we look at a new covenant promise, this is God making this statement. Sometimes we talk about God's promises actually flow from a covenant promise that was made before the foundation of the world, even as it says in Titus 1 verse 2 that we have hope of eternal life, which God who promised before the world began, and watch, God who cannot lie even promised that before the world began. So he has promised this blessing in ours. He made that covenant promise. And so when he says that he will write his laws in our hearts and put them in their minds, God does that through the work of the Holy Spirit as he draws us to the Lord Jesus Christ. We hear the gospel preached, and there's a striking of a chord to us. That's when God is putting it inside of us, right? As it says in John chapter 1, he says, he came to his own people, and his own people received him not. But as many as who did receive him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to those who believe on his name. The next verse tells us, which were born, not of the will of man, nor the will of the flesh, nor of blood, but they were born of God. And that's a blessing that we have, that God puts his laws in our hearts and puts things in our minds. And I love what he says, that I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. We sometimes use that phrase in the time of a communion service when we talk about the very fact, as John says in 1 John, that our sins are covered with the blood of Christ. As he says in 1 John 1 and verse 7, if we walk in the light, he sees in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sins. His blood covers our sin. And so when we come to the communion service and we talk about the blood of Christ, his blood covers our sins. And so that's why God could say, your sins and iniquities I'll remember no more, because our sins are covered with the blood of Christ. He doesn't see our sins. He sees the blood of Christ. Our sins and our lawless deeds we remember no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there's no longer any offering for sin. So the essence of New Testament worship, or we like to call it Reformed order of worship, just keeps focusing upon the blessing. Let me go through our normal order of worship, which is not unique to us. Sometimes we refer to my friend Terry Johnson up there in Savannah, Georgia, sometimes refers to the Catholicity of Reformed worship. And that, don't freak that out, that Catholicity means the universality. And if you've ever been out of the country and you've been in a church that follows a Reformed order of worship, you can follow, even if you don't speak their language. Jan and I had that experience in Paris, France. We always start with adoration. We stop and think, adoration is because we look back at the covenant blessings of God, and we look forward to the covenant blessing, even in the Aaronic blessing, and so we bring adoration to God. We follow that with confession, the fact that we confess the fact that as Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, the words out of his mouth next were, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. But as Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and he confessed his unworthiness, he was given assurance of pardon by the angel that touched his lips with the coal from off the altar. And so that brought, of course, as brings us to a place of thanksgiving. From adoration to confession to assurance of pardon to thanksgiving to intercession. And that gives us a mind then to come before God as the altar of incense was cleansed, even by Aaron with the sacrifice or the blood of the sacrifice. So our prayers are offered through Jesus Christ and are accepted to God through him. We hear the instruction of God's word in the preaching of the gospel, and we turn to God in a time of communion. All in all, it comes down to this, that we look forward to the blessing. And whenever we're going through it, we may not think about it, but we look forward to spending time with God and coming out and God saying, "Preacher, put my name upon the people. Put my name upon the people and remind them I will bless them." And so the words are, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And so shall they put my name on the people of Israel, and I will bless them." Let's pray. Father, thank you for a time in your word in this blessing from that you spoke by command to give to Aaron and his sons to give to the people at the end of a service. And we thank you that it's all based on covenant promises and the fulfillment of those covenant promises as the Lord Jesus Christ took our sins upon himself and died for our sins according to the scriptures. We thank you that he has fulfilled that. He has sat down at the right hand of God and waiting the day when his last enemy that shall be destroyed is death itself and the great day of the resurrection. Oh, Father, we give you thanks that we can hear this blessing and resound. This blessing is a resounding affirmation, a reminder to us that every blessing has come to us through the Lord Jesus Christ and has come because of your covenant promises that are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. And so we give you thanks for this time in his name, the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We want to